Hello and welcome to episode Eric Grybe of the Cost Per Point Cast. I'm your co-host Trevor Shackles, joined as always by my fellow co-host Colin Cudmore. Since our last episode, our entire world has been flipped upside down and it's been pretty surreal. Colin, any opening thoughts about how we got here and what the landscape is like, both in the real world but also in the sports world?
Man, everything is canceled. You're right, it is surreal and it's still kind of setting in. I'm sure I'm not the only one who can say, talk for a lot of people, that we're all very stressed out right now, all very anxious, and lots of uncertainty, I guess, is the way to think about things right now. And I mean, we don't know what could be happening in the next 2 days, let alone the next week, let alone the next month. So that's really going to be a big theme in this episode, is lots of uncertainty about what's going to happen going forward. We don't know what's going to happen with the rest of the season, with the draft, anything really, that goes for all sports at this point. So yeah, we're just really taking things one step at a time, I guess. But I guess we'll take today to talk a bit about some hockey, maybe talk about some other things, whatever we're doing in our newfound spare time. So
yeah,
I don't know, how are you holding up so far?
Yeah, I think it's been a collective longest week and a half, like slash 2 weeks of all of our lives. You know, like, I can't believe that Ottawa actually played a game a week and a half ago. It's just so surreal to me. It seemed like everything sort of came up that one Wednesday night when Rudy Gobert, the NBA player, tested positive, and then NBA was shut down like 5 minutes later, and then the next morning, I guess, NHL and pretty much everything else shut down as well. But yeah, it's been weird. I know, you know, we're both students right now. There's a lot of uncertainty for both of us. In terms of me, in terms of my program, we haven't really been told much what we're going to be doing the next couple months. So that's definitely adding some stress. And I'm sure a lot of people are feeling similarly, whether they're at school or whether their job is put on hold. So yeah, it's definitely not great. But, you know, hopefully we're still able to somewhat talk about sports, and it's not going to be in a normal way. Because I remember I sent out a tweet maybe a week ago, and it was talking about the, I just thought it was funny to think about the implications of conditional draft picks for this season. If you know, the playoffs don't happen, you know, what happens with those conditional picks? I guess they just don't. The conditions don't meet or whatever. And someone replied saying something about, oh, like, how can you be talking about this when there's people dying out there? And, you know, I don't like that line of thinking, because that assumes that we can't talk about both. I mean, yes, obviously this pandemic is extremely, you know, it's scary, and there's people out there who are, you know, who are sick, and there's been lots of people who are dying, and it's not a fun time. It's scary, and you know, we're gonna have to get through this, but at the same time, I think it's important to not talk about that 24/7 and sort of have this safe haven where we can talk about normal things.
For sure.
And you know, reminisce over sports, because a lot of the times sports are sort of our getaways from things we don't want to think about. So yeah, hopefully we can do that today, and
Yeah, hopefully we can share some of our outlets that we're taking now that we don't have sports. But it's also just worth reminding everyone, I know you've all probably heard this a million times, but just make sure to keep social distancing. Trevor and I guess have been kind of pioneers for this for a while, since we're socially distancing through our podcast.
Yeah.
But it's going to be the necessary way to get through this. And we're really just wishing the best for all of you. Make sure you all stay safe. But hopefully we can take a little bit of relief off of that just by talking about some other stuff, whether it be hockey or non-hockey related. So do you want to start just talking about the NHL for a bit?
Yeah, well, yeah,
what's been happening with the NHL? We don't even, is there anything we can talk about?
I mean, there's something. I think the most interesting thing is sort of related to that draft pick talk. It's just sort of like the implications of what's going to happen. And, you know, the NHL, they really have no idea, and I don't blame them. And lots of other leagues have no idea too, because, you know, there's some people who are very optimistic that things could be back to normal by May or June. And I don't think that's realistic or anything. But there's a lot of different contingency plans. I think the craziest thing about this, at least from Ottawa's perspective, is that they had two extremely clutch losses to finish, you know, right before this this lockdown. So now they have the second and third overall picks, or not the picks, but at least in terms of seeding for the lottery. And even the Islanders, although they are in a playoff spot by points percentage, by actual points, they weren't even in the playoffs. So Ottawa was definitely in an extremely good position in terms of their draft picks. But, like, I don't know, what are your inclinations as to how they're going to deal with the lottery?
I mean, as I'm going to say a lot in this episode, I don't know, but just the fact that the Suns are in this position, I mean, no matter how they look at it, unless they do something radical and just do every team gets equal odds, which I hope they really don't do, and it seems unlikely, but unless they go that extreme route, it seems like the Suns will have good chances to get good picks. And there will be draft picks made somehow, whether they do it over the phone, which is what we're seeing lots of other leagues move to, especially in the CHL. Other leagues have already confirmed that they're going to do over the phone drafts. So at this point, it seems pretty likely that the NHL will do that. But yeah, the draft lottery is supposed to be coming up fairly soon. I think it's April 9th was the date, but whether that goes through or not, we'll have to see given whether the NHL season comes back or not. But I mean, all we know is the Sens really achieved their goal this year. They got they finished in a lower spot, and they even got lucky a bit with San Jose not doing so well either, and potentially getting another good pick from the Islanders as well. So, either way, it still seems like they're in a good place to get some good picks in the draft. It's just a matter of how good those picks are going to be at this point. They're going to be two great players no matter what. It's still going to be something we're going to look forward to. Just scheduling and all of that's all up in the air at this point.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that no, they wouldn't be guaranteed the second and third picks, but I think the most important thing is that they guarantee themselves, if they keep the system the same where they can only move down three spots, that means the worst case scenario, they're picking fifth and sixth, which is still, maybe you're getting like, you know, Jamie Drysdale and Marco Rossi or, you know, Alexander Holtz or Lucas Raymond, like two of those players, which is just insanity. So it's not necessarily about, oh, okay, now they're guaranteed Lafreniere or Byfield. No, but they still have a really good shot at least one of those guys. So, but I think it's quite, you know, if we look at it from a different perspective. So if we're looking at it from a team like, say, Tampa Bay, who, you know, they want to win right now. They've been trying for quite a while now to get that second cup. If the playoffs never happened this season, wouldn't you, as the Lightning, be saying, okay, well, why aren't we included in the lottery? Like, we didn't even get a chance to win the cup, so we should be eligible for the lottery. Like, don't you think some teams are going to argue that?
Yeah, it's definitely true. And I mean, maybe they go for different weightings of odds, but I don't know. I think the Sens have some sympathy here too, and just the fact that they lost the season in the 2004-2005 lockout, and that was when they were in their prime years too, and the Sens really could have taken a shot at the cup that year. So, I mean, I wasn't necessarily around following the Sens closely at that time, but I'm sure that the many of the longer time fans can have some sympathy for those teams at least that just get the season missed, where they really could just be going for their Stanley Cup run. And if the season ends up getting canceled and the playoffs get canceled, which I don't know, could happen. I mean, it's really too bad, and it's fine to be sad about that, but we'll have to see what the implications are. And do you actually remember what the implications were for that year, what the lottery ended up being like?
So it was based on the three previous seasons of how good they were. So if they did do that, then at least Ottawa would be in a good position, because they've probably been either the worst or second worst team over the past three seasons. So at least their odds would be good in that scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the San Jose pick maybe wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah. So yeah, I really hope they don't do that. Now one scenario I heard, I believe it was Elliot Friedman who brought it up, was something pretty interesting. So, you know, there are some players who want to maybe resume the schedule in, say, July, and then finish the Stanley Cup by, you know, end of September. But I think a more realistic approach where, you know, if we're expecting this to go through the summer, maybe, perhaps, you know, things have settled down by the fall, and you can resume this actual quote-unquote season in October, finish the regular season, finish the last 11 games or whatever it was, and then sort of have a condensed playoffs, sort of like they did in 12-13, where it was, you know, probably fewer mm-hmm. off days, and then finish the playoffs by the end of the year, and then you can resume the following season, maybe in, say, February or March, and have essentially like a lockout-shortened season that year, and maybe push a bit into July, just so that I feel like with that scenario, you know, you still preserve this season. Obviously, I guess the draft would have to be pushed to like January or something. And then the following season, sure, it's affected by the fact that it's shorter, but I don't think people look back at the 12-13 season and think that was, you know, like a lost season or anything. I mean, the Blackhawks won the cup and they were probably the best team that year. So I think that scenario is A, both realistic, and I think that's kind of fair too.
Yeah, the one thing I worry about that is how other leagues get affected by it as well, because we've seen so many other leagues getting just flat out canceling the rest of their season. Mm-hmm. And if the Sens, and if the rest of the NHL tries to go for that kind of extended season and then a shortened season the next year, I don't see how many other leagues would try and follow that, because there are implications between players moving between leagues, and especially with draft eligible players too. I wonder how they'd take to that. So
true.
If they just want to cancel the season and hit the reset button on a new season and see where they go from there, I personally see it as the most likely option, just given how other leagues are handling it at this point. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that as well, seeing a team getting awarded the Stanley Cup for and not having to miss out on a year of playoffs. And of course, there's so many different playoff formats that have been suggested too. I don't know if we're going to get into any of those, because I honestly have been following them. But yeah, again, it's just so many different options right now. I guess the only thing really we know news-wise for the Sens is that they continue to be pretty cursed. And yeah. They end up having the first two players in the NHL test positive for COVID-19. I mean, of course, they were the first team, because it's the Sens. I hope that everybody around them is okay too. Again, just a scary situation, and it is kind of unfortunate that they end up going ahead with these games on the West Coast, where it seems very likely that they ended up contracting this disease. So, yeah, any thoughts on that, or should we just move on?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's important to point out too is that there were 8 total people that had symptoms and were being tested. So it could very likely be more than 2. I don't think all of them were necessarily players. Like some could be staff and potentially, was it journalists maybe or something? People around the team though. And yeah, there weren't any confirmed reports about who the player was. I know there was one Russian reporter saying it was Nikita Zaitsev, but that wasn't confirmed. So I won't, you know, pretend like that's absolutely true.
Yeah, I don't know. I find it, if the player wants anonymity, then I think that's totally fine. As long as the people around them know that they've come and talked with that person, then, I mean, it should really just be left that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, you're totally right. It's definitely unfortunate that that West Coast trip happened, because it seems almost certain that if they didn't go there, these players wouldn't have contracted it. So yeah, you know, hopefully people are seeing, you know, I think it's important to, when people see that, oh, famous people are actually getting this disease too, I feel like they're taking it more seriously, which it shouldn't have to take that, but you know, hopefully people are realizing the seriousness of the situation now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's exactly what happened with the NBA too, and what made them become the first league to just flat out cancel the rest of their games, or postpone it rather, mm-hmm. when they found out that Rudy Gobert had it. It's kind of unfortunate that it took someone to actually get a case for them to go to those lengths, especially given all the warnings that were coming from different from different sources around the world, but yeah, it's at least things are being done right now, and I still think there still needs to be more done if we're really going to be taking this seriously. But I'm not going to act like I'm an expert in this type of topic or anything. And yeah,
mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say one thing too about another implication for this season. If this season really is lost in terms of like no playoffs, it would just suck so much for teams that were really trying to go for it. You know, I'm thinking of my local team here, the Vancouver Canucks, who traded a second and Tyler Madden in order to get Tyler Toffoli. And, you know, that could be for nothing if they don't re-sign him. They traded for a rental and they had him, he was really good for what, the 10 games or whatever he was here for. And yeah, like that, those teams that traded for rentals, that's really got to be unfortunate.
Well, the Canucks weren't going to make it out the first round anyways. Let's be real.
Oh, for sure. But, you know, there's some teams yeah. like besides them who traded for rentals that, you know, at least a team like the Islanders who gave up a lot for Pageau, at least they re-signed him too. But, yeah, there were definitely others out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we should move into a bit of a non-hockey segment at this point, just because we got to fill some space somehow. But and because we're all in the same situation right now, or we're all in similar situations right now, we all got a bit more spare time on our hands, except for those essential workers who, for all the essential workers, massive thank you to all of you for all the work that you're putting in, if you're listening. Just a massive, massive yes. thank you for everything that you're doing right now. But for all of us who have a bit more spare time on our hands, we're just going to talk a bit about how we're spending it. So do you want to start us off with how you're spending your quarantine time?
Yeah, I mean, well, yesterday I downloaded this baseball game on my computer. I'm sure some listeners have this as well. Out of the Park Baseball. It's honestly an insane game. The amount of detail in it is just crazy. So it's essentially just you can be the manager / general manager for any team in baseball. It could be in the major leagues, could be in the minor leagues, could be in Japan. They have like every league in the world. You know, you could run the budget, you can do the international scouting, I created my own ballpark last night. It's just super fun, very good time waster, and I never felt like I had much time before, so that was a lot of fun to do. What was your next one?
Oh, I think we just discovered recently that we have a bit of a shared love for Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Yep.
Right? Definitely. That seems to be a game that I return to every now and then, and been returning it to it lately as well. Have you ever looked into the cheats for the game? Have you ever tried those out?
John D. Rockefeller?
Yeah, have you done that one? James Hunt is my favorite one.
Wait, what was that one?
Have you ever tried James Hunt? That's the one where you, for those who don't know Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, it's like a theme park building game, and there are all these people who walk around, and if you change one of their names, you can... It's like a cheat code, basically.
Yeah.
And one of them, if you type in James Hunt, then you get like this ATV that you can ride around in the park.
What?
And run into guests and stuff like that. You gotta try that one out. That's my favorite one. So.
But, yeah, I sent that screenshot the other day of my old park from like 2 years ago. I was pretty much done it though, so I didn't really play around with it too much because at that point it's like I don't even know what else to add. But yeah, like there's so many things you can do. I had like a massive waterfall in the middle. Did you notice the slide on the far right? That's like literally the highest slide you can make.
I did. I noticed that one. Yeah.
Do you do similar things?
Yeah, I had the expansion packs for the water parks and the zoo as well.
Yeah, same.
So you can make these super high roller coasters. And of course, when they explode too, it's all the more fun. So
now, one of the questions from a listener, I forget who it was saying, actually, oh no, here it is. It's from Jeremy Crow. He says, do you use, I don't know what that means, prefab coasters in your
prefabricated
coaster? Okay, yeah. Or is he saying do you do custom ones? So what do you do, custom, or do you just have the pre-made ones?
custom all really? The way, man. That's the whole fun of the game, right?
I guess so. I find it so difficult, yeah. Though.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I could spend hours upon hours just perfecting this the perfect coaster. And the best part is when you can like incorporate it into the scenery too, like if you build a castle or something like that, and you can make a coaster. I remember my favorite park that I've ever made was an indoor park, where I made a whole massive building all around this park and had these indoor coasters and all these indoor rides and all these different stories you could have the peeps go through.
So, wait, how'd you do it indoor? You mean like you just raised the ground, you mean?
No, you actually can have all these different scenery, like different scenery walls and all these different buildings that you can make, like custom built. So, yeah, I'll see if I can find it and I'll send a screenshot on Twitter. And
damn, yeah. And you said you had like a castle and stuff?
Yeah, man. It's all these custom buildings. It's like spending hours upon hours in my middle school years. That was that was it.
Damn. Yeah, and I mean I've done some scenery stuff, but more just like, you know, like mountains or like a
true.
What I normally do is like a lake on top of a, not really like a mountain, but like a just like a raised surface. Yeah, it's weird that like, because I think this game came out, what, in like 2007 or 8 or something? Like, it's pretty old.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit of an old one, but it's one of those games that I find myself coming back to every few years or so. So.
Oh, yeah, usually, like, when I'm bored, I just, you know, re-downloaded it and just go to town.
Yeah, and I see you in my notes, you mentioned one other video game. Do you want to mention that?
Oh, yeah, Wii Sports. so I just...
Classic.
Yeah, that's I was mainly doing some bowling, which, man, I couldn't perfect it. I was kind of frustrating, but yes, yeah, so Wii bowling, definitely some baseball. Baseball's pretty fun, especially when you get the it's out of the park. But yeah, what's your favorite ones from Wii Sports?
Oh, tennis easily. That's always the classic, I find. So
yeah, tennis is good too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But tennis and baseball, bowling. Yeah. All the classics. Yeah.
I never do the golf, though. I feel like I never get to that.
Yeah, not that do I. Especially the putting can be very finicky, I remember.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, and we're just a couple Wii Sports fans. Do you ever use Wii Sports Resort?
I have it. Yeah. I haven't played that in a long time. I kind of wanted to break that out.
Yeah. But I mean, Wii Sports is the classic.
Yeah. Because what did they even have? I can't even remember. Like, I know there was, like, a flying one. I think there was, like, basketball and stuff.
There's wakeboarding. There's table tennis. There's...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff.
That's pretty cool.
I see one other thing on the list. I want you to explain this one.
Okay. All right, so I need to explain myself and preface this. So, all right, so when Vine was a thing... you know, I loved that app. I was on it all the time. For people who don't know, it was just like these 6-second, looping videos that were mostly, comedy. Didn't always have to be, but they were just like good short skits with, sometimes people would be doing it, just with themselves or sometimes with other people, just like a lot of random videos. And now, I would say essentially the new Vine is TikTok, and it's hilarious because most people that would see it mainly would just see like the, you know, teenagers doing these stupid dances and all these songs, because it used to be Musical.ly, which was just sort of like lip syncing and dancing and stuff. It was not a good app, but it has an algorithm so that like when you go on your main page and you start liking certain videos, you'll see more of those videos. So pretty much my entire feed is just funny videos. And they're anywhere between like 5 seconds and a minute long. So I would recommend getting it for people who are bored and want to watch some funny videos. Yeah, some of it is like, you need to know sort of like the meme or the trend or whatever. But yeah, I stand by it. TikTok is good.
Man, I don't understand it. I'm the podcast boomer over here. I'm just gonna stick to Twitter and stay in my lane.
You just gotta avoid the dances, Colin. That's all.
All right, I'll give it a shot and report back next episode. All right.
Okay. Good.
All right, and in the last thing, or one of the another thing that I know you've been occupied with on Twitter is the best name bracket, and I don't know, do you want to share some of your favorites and just explain what's going on?
Yeah, so on Monday, I started. So I wanted to do a bracket with the best names in the NHL. So my followers are voting on who they think has the best name in the NHL. So the only easy way to do it in terms of like quote unquote seeding people was to put them in divisions. So I came up with 16 names for each division, which was tough, by the way. I mean, I definitely had to take some good names out, especially from the Atlantic and the Metro. Pacific wasn't as great. I had to put some okay ones in there. But yeah, so there are some really good names. Right now, there are, I think, 24 names left voting. I think it was, yeah, for the West in the second round is going on right now. So, I mean, there's some really good ones. I know it seems like a lot of people were high on Greg McKegg.
Oh, man, yeah.
that's a really good favorite. One. Yeah, I don't know if he's my favorite. He's definitely up there. It's tough. Rudolph
Spalser. It's just so fun to say, yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. Rudolph
Spalser. You say it five times, yeah.
Greg McKegg,
yeah.
Gregory McKeggery. But yeah, Balcers is, you know, definitely getting the Senators bump. He destroyed Rasmus Ristolainen, which I was kind of surprised with. I thought that would be a closer matchup. But now he's going to be facing off against Zemgus Girgensons, which I don't... If he wins that one, I'm thinking that's just some Senators bias, because I think Girgensons could honestly win it all. But yeah, there were some Latvian other really Latvian. Good ones. Wait, sorry, what'd you say?
Aren't they both Latvian too?
Or could yeah, they are. There. I mean, there was a bunch of Latvians. I had Teddy Bluger, but he's out.
Right. Against McKeg, yeah. That
was a tough matchup. Some tough ones there. Because Elvis Merzlikins, he lost to Kapo Kakko, another great name. like Nino Niederreiter was out in the first round, which I thought he was going to go far. It was like Cal Clutterbuck. Who else? Christian Juice. That's one of my favorites.
Rupe Hintz.
Oh, Rupe Hintz. That's good. Andreas Athanasiou. Yeah,
we're just saying these for the sake of saying these at this point.
Pardon?
We're just saying these for the sake of saying these at this point. They're just fun to say.
Oh, they're so much fun. Yeah. Yeah. And I had someone say something that, like, it sounds like I'm just making fun of European and Scandinavian names, which... No, I'm not. I'm literally saying that these names sound cool. Like, these are really cool names. And some of them, sure, like Greg McKegg, that just is fun to say. But still, like, a name like Zemgus Girgensons, that's super cool. So I'm not making fun of it. And obviously, like, in Europe, that probably sounds a lot more normal. But that's the whole point. It's perspective. So let's take a bet. Who's your bet to win it all for the last 24 names?
Man, Greg McKegg all the way. He's my guy. Yeah.
Okay.
He's got a place in my heart. Yeah. How about you?
Okay, let me look at the list. Let's see. Oh boy, right now Christian Juice is exactly tied with Athanasiou with 126 votes. This is tough. I'm going to go with... Oh. See, I don't know if I want to pick Girgensons because I feel like Balcers might beat him just because Sens fans. See, Greg McKegg is facing off against Kakko next round, so yeah. I'll go with Kakko, actually. I think he can go pretty far.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm just noticing one upset, too. I didn't realize that Kasperi Kapanen beat Carson Kuhlman.
Who
wouldn't vote for a guy named Kuhlman?
Like, yeah, cool man. And Carson is with a K, too. So,
yeah.
Damn.
Anyways.
Yeah. But, yeah, anyway, if you haven't voted on those things, you can do that on my Twitter, at ShaqTS. I'm doing those every day. The polls usually close around, like, 9 or 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And those will be going on for almost the next week or so. As of Sunday, we were in round two. So there's still 24 names left. But yeah.
Totally. So do you want to move back to hockey for a bit? Let's talk about... We kind of touched on this already, but the NHL draft, it's going to be hard not to talk about while we take this time off. But I mean, just because there's going to be so many, just because the Sens are likely to have great picks. I mean, it's hard not to talk about these players. So, is there any players you wanted to maybe touch on about the draft so far?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I saw that you listed the fact that Stützle has recently passed Lucas Raymond for number three on the list, and I think that's interesting. I would definitely be pretty ecstatic with getting Stützle anywhere between like 3 and 6 or 7, honestly. But I was sort of interested to see what are your rankings in terms of preference for Senators picks. So maybe like the top, well, I guess 6, if we're assuming that Ottawa's going to have 2 picks in the top 6. So yeah, who would you go with from 1 to 6 if you're the Senators?
Sure, yeah. So my number one, I'll start with Alexis Lafreniere. I mean, he's just so well-rounded in his game. I mean, it's hard not to say he's the number one choice at this point. My number two is Quinton Byfield, which I'm still keeping him there. I mean, he just had such a monstrous year in the OHL after not exactly meeting expectations in his D-1. So I know he's actually been... I know there's been a couple other players who have been moving into the 2 spot for some people, but Byfield for me is still that number 2 pick. Number 3, so yeah, I mentioned that, I track these expected range where I keep these consolidated rankings from all these public sources, and Lucas Raymond's been holding on to the number 3 spot for a long time, but Tim Stützle, after rising and rising and rising, has finally passed Lucas Raymond for number 3 in the consolidated rankings, and personally for me, I think he's up there too at number 3. For number 3 is Tim Stützle. I mean, he's such a speedy player and such an all well-rounded player, especially in the offensive zone. And the fact that he's been able to do what he's done against pro competition, even though it's just in the German league, which isn't the strongest league. I mean, he's really fit to play in the NHL next season. And the same can be said for Lafreniere and Byfield, but I mean, Stützle as well. He has just such an NHL ready skill set offensively. He's just so explosive in that way. And, my number 4, I'm going to stick with Lucas Raymond here. I know he's been moving down some lists for some people, but again, he played against pro competition this year, and he really just didn't get the good chance that he deserved by his coaches. And I think that's really kind of bumped down his draft stock a bit, but I mean, it's impossible to ignore that. He's just had such a dynamic skill set. His hands are incredible. He can see the offensive zone so well. He's a fantastic playmaker. So yeah, Lucas Raymond, still the number 4 in my books. And number 5, this is where I start to go against the consolidated rankings a bit, but my number 5 is Marco Rossi. I'm going to stick with the forwards, Ottawa 67's forward. He's small, but I legitimately think he'll be NHL ready too, just because his lower body is so strong that like he just can't be knocked off the puck, which is incredible for someone who's as small as Rossi is. And I mean, he's... If you're looking at different models as well about judging like predicted NHL points and stuff like that, Rossi's he's right up there with Lafreniere and Byfield in terms mm-hmm. of offensive output, expected offensive output. So Rossi's my number 5. Number 6 is Jamie Drysdale, first defenseman on the list, rounding out the top 6. But yeah, he's clearly the number 1 defenseman in this draft by a mile, and it actually wouldn't surprise me if he gets taken 3rd overall in this draft or 4th, just because he's like the defenseman, and of course the Sens, if they get one of those picks, they'll need an elite right shot defenseman too, and Drysdale could be that. So that's my top 6. I mean, I could go on and on and on about this, but like Wendell, Perfetti, Holtz, Connor Zary, Austin Mercer, I mean, there's so many great players that I could talk about here, but in terms of top 6, it's also worth mentioning that all these 6 players would probably be top 3 picks in most years, in most drafts. They're mm-hmm. It's just that good at the top of the draft. So worth keeping that in mind. If I say Drysdale is 6th overall, that's like a massive compliment still. Like he'd Yeah, it just speaks to how deep, especially at the top of this draft is. So the fact that the Sens are likely going to have two picks there is like phenomenal.
Right. And I think most people would probably prefer to have the two forwards. But at the same time, like, you know, if they end up getting, say, Raymond and Drysdale, I'd still be pretty ecstatic to get a guy like Drysdale, because that's sort of that really shores up the right side. Then because you're not totally reliant on Bernard Docker and Lassie Thompson turning out to be NHL players. So, some of the guys that you didn't even mention in the top six, at least you mentioned him afterwards, like Cole Perfetti, he's got 111 points in 61 games. So, like, that's the guy who, you know, like you're saying, could easily be in the top five in other years. Sort of overlooked, honestly. I'm assuming, were there like some questions about his defensive game or something?
He's just not as he's not as explosive as a skater, but I don't really hold that against him. I still think that like he has the tools there to improve it. Cole Perfetti, he's ninth right now on the consolidated list, and to me that's I'd say it's underrated, but I mean, just looking at the people ahead of him, it's still hard to put him ahead of those players. And again, yeah, he could be a top five pick in most years. And so, yeah, it's just absolutely wild how deep this top of this draft is. So, yeah.
And also,
one thing I'll add is that because the Sens will have, like, we have these top two picks, it'll be interesting to see how they end up pairing these position wise. I mean, if they end up picking a center in Byfield, and they could pair him with a winger like Stützle or Holtz, and that could be like two thirds of the top line for the team's next decade and a half. And just incredible to think about what this could mean for the team's future down the line, and how they're really forming this team from the get go. Or maybe they have Stützle plus Rossi or something like that. And I could just think of that as like the rest of the division needs to watch out for that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I think best case scenario, you don't want to draft for position, but I think the best case scenario is they end up with a center and a winger, because like you said, that can be two thirds of a first line. And I think it's important to mention that someone like Rossi, he's obviously a bit older considering he's a 2001 birth year, but I mean, if you look at his stats, so if we pretend like last year is his draft year, he still had 65 points in 53 games. And so if this was his draft plus 1 year, we would still be talking about him as this insanely good prospect who had more than 2 points a game. So I wouldn't totally hold that against him.
Even if it was draft plus 2 year, he'd probably get second round consideration. It's absolutely wild, but I mean, it's just incredible. I'm a fan of Rossi. I'm sure it'll be nice to see how Suns fans have been able to get to know him this past season as well, just because he's been playing in Ottawa too and for the 67. So people know him a bit more intimately than guys like Stützle and Raymond, but so that would be cool. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be hard for the Suns to make any bad picks this year, but I don't want to say that and jinx it. But
yeah, and I mean, who knows when this draft is actually going to happen. I feel like it won't be in June, just because they'll be, you know, hoping that they can finish the season at some point, like maybe in the fall or something like that. So who knows when it's going to be, which kind of sucks, honestly, the fact that we've got to wait a lot longer. But obviously it'll be worth it in the end, because like we've been saying, Ottawa's going to end up with two insanely talented players.
Totally. All right. Shall we start going to the listener questions?
Yeah, let's do it. There was one that we answered already about Roller Coaster Tycoon.
I'll start this one from Kelly at That Hockey Loss. So, do you want to recommend some of your favorite books, video games, and TV shows or movies for people to try and enjoy while they're stuck at home? So we talked about video games already. Any favorite books or TV shows?
Oh boy. Let's see. Well, TV shows. I don't have Amazon Prime or like the streaming service or whatever, so I wouldn't be able to stream it, but Parks and Rec is an insanely good show. Same creator as The Office. So if you love The Office, you'll love Parks and Rec. What else? I'm trying to think of recent things I watched. Definitely Sex Education on Netflix. That's an amazing British comedy about these high school kids who are, you know, just going through puberty, and it's really funny, but it's also very informative, and it sends really good messages. So yeah, I would definitely recommend that if you have Netflix as well.
So I'll put this right out there. I'm not a cinephile in the slightest. I really don't know much TV or movies at all. So I'll recommend a book, for a hockey book at least, from Ryan Stimson, Taped to Space. It's like the magnum opus right now of a hockey analytics writing, I find, at least, because it not only incorporates just analytics, but it's also all about incorporating coaching strategies and data as well, just as, like, even more than analytics, and making database decision makings into new strategies and where hockey could be going in the future. And it talks about, like, why working the power play from behind the net is a much better strategy, for example. And there's so much gold in there that, I mean, I've read it a couple times already, but and I think it's a couple years old now, which is kind of crazy to think, at least for me. But if you have the chance to order that and support a fellow hockey data enthusiast, then I'll give that one a recommendation.
Yeah, I can't say I've read too many books, like, for pleasure over the past couple of years. Just,
you know, very fair.
Mainly because I've been doing so much reading for, like, classes, and then I just get, like, so turned off by the reading. But yeah, I can't really say I have a good book recommendation, but I like your recommendation there. Was there another one, or, like, from her besides books and shows?
I think that's all.
Okay. So next one comes in from Tate Fraser. He says, who do you guys look at as a comparable for Josh Norris in terms of play style, and where do you see him fitting in Ottawa? And he's got a question after that, but I guess we can tackle this one first.
I mentioned this in a previous episode, just kind of like a more ceiling comparison, but I feel like a stylistic comparison to Logan Couture also could have made more sense for Josh Norris, in terms of they're both reliable two-way players, but they also have the offensive skill set to be able to hold it on a top six line with as both playmaker and as someone who can just drive to the net and get stuff done as a centerman. So he maybe not the perfect comparison. But in terms of where Josh Norris has progressed to this season and how he continues to just go up, he has an upwards trend right now. I mean, that's kind of the comparison I've been using mentally. I mean, I'm not really one for using comparisons, mostly just because I feel like players are very unique most of the time. But I don't know. I feel like that's kind of been a bit useful to me, at least.
No, I like that comparison. I hadn't thought of that one, but because Couture isn't really like someone you think of as necessarily a top center, but yeah, you can put him on your first or second line and you'll be fine. So if he turns into that, I think we'll all be pretty ecstatic.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Second part of his question, he says, do you think Ottawa should trade for a young right-handed defenseman who can play with Chabot? And he goes, Ekblad or Carlo are guys I thought could make sense as trade options.
I mean, maybe. I just wonder what they'd have to give back in return for that. I'd rather just see them try and go for someone through the draft at this point and just try and build in terms of that age group. I mean, if they're trading picks to get someone like that, I just don't really see the point at this point. I don't know. If they can get someone decent for cheap, I know Colin Miller is he's not necessarily the youngest guy right now, but I mean, he's very underrated around the league, I find. So if they could pick up him for a late round pick, I wouldn't be against that at all, but someone like Ekblad on his type of contract, I just don't really see him as a fit in Ottawa.
Well, and also I don't think Boston would be willing to give up Carlo anyway, unless it was like for a huge package.
True. Yeah, very cheap.
I mean, those guys they're not easy to find either, so it'd be tough.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's all about building through the draft at this point for the Sens, so I feel like that's the best option. This one comes in from Joe at Slowhands. So he's linked us to a tweet from Brian Lawton talking about the American Hockey League planning to cancel the rest of the remainder of the regular season and possibly the playoffs. But he's just wondering what the long-term effects on this might be on players' development.
Yeah, so we sort of touched on this a bit, but it's, yeah, I mean, I haven't seen too many people talk about it, but every so often I'll think about it, and I think, oh, that just sucks. The fact that, you know, Belleville was going to win their division, and they had a really good chance at winning the entire thing, winning the Calder Cup, and, you know, that was the entire plan for Dorian and the front office, for all these young guys to be playing in the playoffs and have that playoff experience. So, you know, is that going to be the difference between them being NHL players and not being NHL players? No, but I think it would have been good experience. So, I you know, maybe that takes a bit of a hit in terms of their confidence or something like that. And yeah, I mean, for other leagues, it's really hard to say at this moment. We sort of have to know. If we knew the end date of when things were going to go back to normal, then we would probably have a better answer. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, not really. And I guess the same can maybe be said for North Dakota as well, and how they're poised to go on a long run too.
Yeah.
And the three prospects the Sens have there. But yeah, it's really hard to pinpoint exactly how a long playoff run will impact development. I mean, you look at the 2011 Belleville playoff run, and we didn't exactly get All-Stars coming out of there, out of that run. But I mean, of course, this year is a bit different because it centered more around young players. So, but I don't know. I mean, it would have been super nice, and it would have been an awesome distraction for us to see Belleville go on a deep run. But besides that, I'm not really sure it will have too much of an impact, at least. But
yeah, hopefully not. Next one comes in from Jamie. He says, I can easily see a situation where Ottawa would have 10 to 20 million left to reach the cap floor, which they'll definitely have some room. I don't know about that much. He says, who should they target with that space? Should they go big game hunting for the likes of Hall, Krug, or Pietrangelo?
Probably not. I don't think so. I feel like the way similar to the answer to looking for a right shot defenseman, it'll probably be a matter of building through the draft. And we know Melnick's pretty cheap at this point. I mean, we can talk a bit about how he stepped up at least to pay his workers. I mean, good on him for doing that. We know that the Sens definitely still have an internal budget, and they'll just keep extending their young players in their RFA years until they can't pay them anymore, and then probably trade them unless something else changes. So that's pretty much how I see it going at this point. They'll probably try and get Brady Tkachuk on an extension, which would be nice to see. But I don't see them having 10 to 20 million to hit the cap floor. I don't think. I don't think it's quite that tight. Especially with the NHL losing revenue right now, it looks like the salary cap may not even go up much next year, if at all. So I don't really see that being a problem for them.
Yeah. When I did a mock roster for next season, there was definitely some money they had to spend. Like, I spent a bit on Matthias Janmark in the bottom six, and there was a right-handed defenseman. I think it was Trevor Van Riemsdyk. So I think they'll have to spend a bit of money, maybe like $4 or $5 million or something. But I mean, maybe even someone like Milan Lucic can be an option, just so that they eat his money and maybe they can buy him out. Then again, this is Melnick we're talking about, so Lucic still has 3 years left on his deal. I think that would be a good hockey decision because they could probably get like a first round pick for that. But yeah, they'd be eating a lot of money, so they might have to just sign a couple free agents, sort of that ilk, of that Janmark and maybe TVR. Ilk.
Well, like they did with Tyler Ennis
exactly.
What's his name? Ron Hainsey. That's pretty much how it's going to be, I see. Next one comes in from Alex S. If Ottawa only has one of the two picks, what would you hope to have as the best combo? Lafreniere? I think we kind of talked about this, but who would be your ideal choice as top two picks right now for the Sens?
So if we only have...
Let's say they have second and fourth.
Well, it would be Byfield, and so if they got Byfield, like, I would prefer to have a winger in combination with that. So I mean, I've seen, because hasn't Stützle been playing all over the place? Like, can he play center and the wing?
Yeah, he could. Although he's been playing more winger, I believe.
Yeah.
But he could play both.
I think Byfield and Stützle. If you got Byfield, Stützle at 2-4, that would be insane.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. And if Stützle was not available, then that's when you probably go for maybe someone like Jamie Drysdale. Or, hey, if you even go for Marco Rossi at that point and get two centers, I mean, I wouldn't be complaining either. But
Yeah. But if they got Lafreniere first and then picked third or fourth, you know, maybe they can get Rossi as well. Like getting Lafreniere and Rossi would be incredibly good as well.
Yeah, for sure. This next question comes in from Alex M. Just a heads up, I don't know how well we're going to be able to answer this one, but he asks best places to eat in Ottawa, and I'll start because I just don't eat out that much. I don't know. I mean, I can't even think of places. Any place in Vancouver you want to recommend to Vancouver listeners?
Well, sure. You know, I would say once this pandemic is all over, definitely come to Vancouver. It's a very beautiful place. If you like Mexican food, Taco Fino and La Taqueria are two of the best places. Man, I'm trying to think besides that. Like, those are two go-tos for sure. I don't know. There's so many places in Yale Town for anyone that's been here. Kind of like a trendy area. I don't know. I'm blanking. Caught me off guard.
Yeah, I don't know either. Sorry, Alex, we can't really answer your question.
I mean, I replied to him and I said that'll be a one-sided discussion just because, I mean, I've been to Ottawa, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start. Sorry about that, man.
All right. It's not the best discussion.
This next one comes in from Chris, and I don't know how much we're going to be able to talk about this one either, but he asks about the unappreciated greatness of Donkey Kong 64. Are you familiar with that game?
Yeesh. Haven't played it. I'm sorry, Chris.
Sorry, Chris. Neither have I. But
okay,
I'll say when it comes to Nintendo, Mario Kart Wii. That's the elite game. The go-to.
Oh, I forgot to mention. Yeah, I was playing that the other night too. So fun.
If we're talking video games here, I've actually been playing that quite a bit too. But there's a free mod you can get online, where you get 200 plus custom tracks from Mario Kart Wii. There's additional game modes, like, you know, 200cc, where you can go faster.
Yeah, yeah.
And it brings back online play, too. Man, yeah. Yeah, I've been on there a fair amount, so. And not Donkey Kong 64, but going off on a bit of a tangent, but.
Yeah.
Nintendo games are good. I'll stick to you on that.
Yeah. Next one comes in from Habs Fan Logic. We sort of touched on this, so can be a bit quicker, but he says, concerns about Perfetti and Rossi's speed. It might be tough to find a place in the league if you're both small and slow these days, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, they're small, but they're not slow. I mean, skating, they don't just have that electric... They don't have the electric speed of someone like Tim Stützle or I don't know who else, Lafreniere even, or even Byfield, I guess. But it's never really been a struggle to me. And given how little they've been able to struggle with it in the CHL, I don't really see how it becomes a problem for them in the NHL at this point. And given especially Rossi, I feel like he just can't get knocked off the puck. That it really just isn't going to be an issue for him. Maybe Perfetti, I'd probably recommend he still works on it a bit more at least. But yeah, I'm not concerned about their skill level at least. I feel like that's going to be more than enough to get them by in the NHL.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Yeah. So there's two more. Second last one comes in from our old pal Ross. He says, if the NHL decided to just do a bracket style playoffs with all 31 teams, and he says, give Bruins a bye first round or something to make it work, do the Sens win a game around?
I mean, probably not.
You don't think they win one game?
I mean, they could win a game, but a series, I don't know.
So they would play either Boston or who was second? I think St. Louis was second.
Yeah, I don't like the chances against that, especially in a series.
Well, but definitely not a series. They wouldn't be winning a series, but I think they would win at least one game.
Yeah, I mean, the odds are in their favor to win at least one, just because the NHL is random that way. But
Exactly.
I mean, if it's just one game, then really what's the point of even showing up?
So. Yeah. I think it would be just like the 12-13 series against the Penguins, where they gave up like a bazillion goals. They barely won game three by coming back in the last minute and then winning in overtime and then got destroyed in game four and five. I feel like it would be like that.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe Brady Tkachuk brings back the pesky sends too and they win. Maybe they make it close a bit, but
yeah.
That's optimistic thinking.
Yeah. Last one comes in from Alan. He says, would now be a good time for Eugene to do another Bora hostage interview video?
Yeah, absolutely not. That's not good social distancing either.
True. You gotta be sending the right messages.
Yeah, gotta be at least 2 meters apart, and hopefully Mount can be at least 100 meters apart from Sens fans and the media. So,
yeah. All right. As long as
he's paying his workers, which thank goodness he's doing that.
Yeah. So we'll give him credit where credit is due. I mean, I don't think it was necessarily, it shouldn't have been a hard decision, but you know, at least he did that. But yeah, you know, before we wrap up, is there anything, you know, one last message to our listeners before we finish up here? Or?
Just stay safe, everyone. We're all in this together. We're all feeling very stressed and anxious about this. So we're right there along with you, and just hoping for the best for everyone. And just stay tuned for more draft content, I guess. Yeah. Pivot there at the end, but
for sure. Yeah. Definitely agree with everything that Colin said there, and thanks for listening. As I wrap it up, reminder that you can find the Cost Per Pointcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. And if you really enjoy it, you can rate and review the podcast on those platforms as well. You can follow me on Twitter at ShaqTS, and you can follow Colin on Twitter at CudmoreColin, and also read his articles at Silver 7 Sens. If you want to submit a listener question for an upcoming episode, send us a message at CPPointcast on Twitter, where you'll get any updates about the show. Stay safe out there, and please, please practice social distancing. We'll get through these tough times eventually. That's all for today. Adios.